Take your Bible, go to Mark 1 and verse 17. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Let's read it out loud. You'll find it up on the screen, and let's read together. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." I want to hear the biggest fish story you got. He's got the microphone. All right. Let's hear it. All you fishermen, fisher ladies, who's got one? All right, John.
We were at a sixth grade boys fishing trip. Tyler was fishing with just a brim buster, and he caught a brim, and the pole was just laying on the bank, and it started swimming away. Well, a bass came after the brim and swallowed the brim. So we got in the John boat and went and recovered the pole and lifted it up. Brim and bass and one.
Two for one.
Yes, sir.
Son, that's close to line right there. I guarantee you it is. All right. That's good. There's one behind you over there, Stan. Who you got right there, Lee? Oh, yeah. Don't let him have the microphone. You hold it. Yeah. Amen. In a testimony meeting, we always hold the microphone. All right.
I'm sorry. I thought he was talking about fishers and men, not fishing.
No. Fishing. Real fishing.
I'm sorry. I don't fish.
That's good. It's an honest fisherman. I need a fish story. Who you got, Pam?
Well, I hate to fish, but I went last Sunday, and I felt guilty because I was fishing on Sunday, but it was our anniversary weekend. We were out of town, and I caught 24. It wasn't quality. It was quantity, and I just kept reeling them in, and I had bruises and everything from so much
bruises.
Work. Yes.
Okay.
And it was exciting. He caught 24, too.
That's 48.
It was.
Amen. All right. That's good. Steve, you want to testify there? I know Pete's got a tale. I've heard this story.
We went up to the pastor's fishing area up in Pisgah, fished with his dad, and it was the day after one of the biggest storms they've ever had up there. Water was everywhere. We didn't think we'd catch a fish, but we fished a couple of days. Came home with over 300.
All right, 300. One right there behind you, Stan. Somebody else? If you see them, Leo. Okay, who you got, Leo?
Hi, Pastor. I know you're not going to believe this, but I caught an 8-foot gator on 14-pound test. No
lie. 8-foot alligator
on, 14
on a 14-pound test line.
I had to get my 22 also, but I did catch him.
All right.
When we lived in Destin, we did a lot of offshore fishing.
Offshore.
And the biggest thing my wife has caught is a 54-foot charter boat out of sight of land. Now, you can't beat that one. They had to send divers over to cut the line out of it.
She caught the boat.
And I was running probably a quarter of a mile line out, and he didn't realize it and crossed it.
All right. Somebody else got a fishing tail? Oh, Lord.
Well, this is the truth, Pastor.
It's the truth. Every fish story begins with this line. Now, this is the truth.
Now, when I was in high school, my father took me block fishing on the Mississippi River.
What kind of fishing?
They call it block fishing. What you do is you take quart cans of oil that are empty, you solder them together, and you make a line and put a lot of fish hooks and line
back.
And you just let it float, and you float down the Mississippi River.
I got it.
A 68-pound catfish.
68 pounds.
Yes, sir.
That's true?
That's the truth.
Okay. All right. Hey, well, I hear these fish. Crawford, you don't have a fish story? He's the chairman of the bass club. You're not going to lie to me? One more.
There's a story about the Russians that ice fishing, do a lot of ice fishing, and they would use a lot of arm length to tell their stories, so they got to where they tied their hands together. And this old Russian fisherman got up there, and he held his hands up like this, and they said, "Hey, wait a minute." And he said, Yeah, he was that wide between the eyes.
Now, see, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for fish tape. When Jesus started his ministry, he found some fishermen. And he used that background to say, if you'll come follow me, then I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, I don't fish a lot today, but I grew up with my father fishing. The first time I can ever remember going fishing was on Lake St. Clair, suburb of Detroit, in January. Ice fishing. I was just a little boy, first grade, and we drove Dad's car out on the lake. Ice, I don't know how thick. And we came to a little place, a little outhouse. You go in, I got a little heater. The water's crystal clear, and they'd put that line down. You could see the fish, and you'd bring them up out of that hole in the ice. I was just a kid. I remember that like it was yesterday. I don't as much remember the fishing as I do being scared what's going to happen if the ice breaks and we're in this car. But, you know, the lake had been frozen all winter, and it was yay thick. Then this young man, Dad would carry me, and we fished a lot on Thursday mornings. And in the spring, in May, every Thursday morning I was late for school, because we would go at daylight, 30 minutes before daylight, get up, get the boat ready, go down to the river, which is about 20 minutes from our house, sometimes use the boat, oftentimes not, and just put on a pair of waders, and Dad tie a tow sack to one side of my waders, and then he'd put a can of crickets up in a pouch on your chest, and you'd wade about this deep with a cane pole, and you'd fill that sack full or till you got to 50. And if you got over 50, then, of course, you was in trouble with the game warden. And then I'd come back and miss first period because we're always late getting back. Some of the greatest memories I have of my father are those Thursday mornings when we'd wade in those rock bottom, the backwater of the Tennessee River, and we'd brim fish, but when it really got good, we'd shellcracker fish. And that shellcracker get over and lay on the bottom, and man, you can't hardly get him out of there, and it's just a ton of fun. But I was with my dad. Jesus chose fishermen. Now, I want you to understand this. When Jesus got ready to pick his team, first of all, he did not go to the houses of higher education and look for the 12. He did not go to the governmental houses and look for the 12. He did not go to the synagogue to look for the 12. He found them, ordinary men, fishing for the most part. There were others, but for the most part, is when he started, he found ordinary fishermen. Like my dad, like my grandfather before him. The worst fish story we had with grandfather was my cousin Rodney, my cousin Dennis. We caught a snapping turtle one afternoon and got him on a rod and reel and got him in. He's about this big around. And we put him in the back of the pickup truck. And we tied him up with everything we needed to tie him up with to get him home. Granddad was going to cook him. And when we got home, he had snapped every line in there. And he was running around the back of that pickup truck. One of the neatest days I ever had in my life trying to catch that snapping turtle. My grandfather. This was just a rough, ordinary man. Now, I want you to think about fishermen. Now, if somebody asked me, are you a fisherman? I said, no, I'm really not, because I don't do a lot of that. I have a son-in-law that would call himself a fisherman. There's some of you in here that would call yourself fishermen, or you've been around others. What is it about being a fisherman that is so enamoring here to Christ? Well, let me give you four words to think about fishermen. Number one, most time I find these fishermen to be very positive. We will find them. We will be successful. We're going after fish, and they're positive, and they don't give up, and they stay by the stuff, and yes, it's going to be all right. I mean, there's tornado warnings out. Oh, it's going to clear off. It's going to be a good day. These men are positive when it comes to this work. Number two, they are persistent. They are persistent. They stay by the stuff. My father is a very persistent fisherman. He will just stay at it. In the rain, he stays at it. In the wind, he stays after it. I just do not like to fish when it's cold weather. But my father stays at it, whether it's burning up hot, freezing cold, it matters not to him. He is a persistent man. Churchill said, never, never, never give up. Well, it would be said about fishermen. They are positive. They are persistent. Number three, they are patient. They are patient men. Now, when it comes to being a fisherman, my Uncle Joe, who died when he was 65 and was my greatest encourager in my life, Uncle Joe was not a patient fisherman. He went to where he thought the fish were. They threw twice. If he didn't get a strike, he's gone. I've been with them, and my daddy'd look over there and say, if he'd just wait a little while, we'd be fine. But Joe had to go, 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 go now. He had to make it happen. But most fishermen are very patient. Not just in the fishing, but real fishermen are patient in teaching their children and their grandchildren how to fish. Kids that won't touch worms, that patient grandfather will say, let me put it on there for you. Let me tie that hook for you. Let me show you how to do that. To put a hook on a line, my father's taught me how to do that, and wrap and wrap and wrap, turn it back through the hole, pull tight, clip it off. He said, I'm going to show you three times. If you don't get it after the third time, you just sit there the rest of the day. But now watch, and he would patiently show me how to fish. Those that fish are patient. And number four, I would say to you, they are very passionate. Passionate. They absolutely love it. They love to fish. Now, there are things I love to do, but fishing would not be one of those. I would not be passionate regarding fishing. Those that are passionate, they'd go right now. If you just say, let's go, they'd be down to the bridge, going to Gulf Bridge, say, all right, we'll go down there tonight. Not me. I've never fished off that bridge. Don't ever plan to fish off that bridge. But people in here tell you stories about, oh, we spent the night down there and we just had a great time. Did you catch anything? No, but boy, it was a grand experience. They love it. They are passionate about it. Okay, you know, as we heard down here on the front row, this text is not about catching fish. It's about catching men. So let's apply this text tonight. Jesus said, if you follow me, if you follow me, I will make you become fishers of men. If you have never led another human to Christ, you've never been influential in bringing someone to Christ and seeing them put their faith and trust in Christ, the question begs, have you ever followed him? Jesus said, come and follow me, and if you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. So if you're not fishing for men, have you ever followed him? Beloved, we've got a task in front of us, and it's fishing. Now, notice some things about this. First of all, what's the target? If it's not fish, what are we after? We are after men. We are after lost men. We are after lost when we are after lost boys and girls. This afternoon, when we had the baccalaureate at Washington High School, I walked right down here, and all those students were sitting in these two sections. I said, now everybody, I want you to look up at this glass. And I showed them those crosses. And I said, listen to me. And I went through the gospel with those crosses. And on the center cross, Jesus died. And on this left cross, where the malefactor that believed, and on this cross is the malefactor that didn't believe. Now, which one are you? And he said, well, you can't do that. Yes, you can. They came to my house. Okay? That's our job, is to fish. To fish. To fish. The target are men, women, high schoolers, and middle schoolers. We are to fish. I went to Romania this past week. Congressman Miller went with me. Congressman Miller's been helping us a lot with our school in Romania. I have decided never to go to Romania again without a congressman. When we crossed into from Hungary into Romania, state police were waiting on us, and they escorted us to the hotel. And every time we came out of the hotel, they escorted us wherever we were going. I said, this is missions. Amen. This is the way you're supposed to do missions, right here. Police escort everywhere you go. And they're looking out after you. And then I noticed one night he went with one of the other gentlemen to a meeting, and I went another way, and the police went with him. I was left alone, so they weren't there to help me, but as long as I was hanging with him. And boy, the congressman did a great job. Jeff did a remarkable job. On the way back, I slid into my seat getting ready to fly from Amsterdam to Atlanta, that 10-hour flight back. It's a 17-year-old girl sitting next to me, a Russian. She didn't speak any English. So we didn't have much of a conversation. But the lady that was waiting on us, she could speak Russian. And so we, you look for people everywhere. I think, Lord, I can't share with her. I don't know any way to do it. And I didn't. I didn't know what to say. There was a man sitting across the way from me that I began to talk with and found out he worked for the U.S. government, and he has a shell company, not mobile gas shell. I mean, it's a shell game. A company that sets up the government, so they go into these countries. And I said, tell me more about that. And he said, well, I have to kill you if I tell you any more. And I said, well, that's enough. I don't need to know any more than that. And so then he got around. He asked me, he said, now, what is it you do? What brings you to Amsterdam? I said, well, I'm a gospel preacher. And he said, well, that's interesting. I said, yeah, it's good news. And so it gives you opportunity to share the gospel. I want you to understand something. You are here, if you're saved, to fish. You're here to fish. And the target are the people God puts in front of you. You don't know where they are, who they are. I heard a story tonight about one of our members had a couple of blowouts on the side of the road. And he said, man, this got to be expensive evangelism. He had to change his tires, but the people would come and change the tires on his vehicle. He's in a motor home, and he'd had an opportunity to share. I don't know who God's going to put in your path, but God's going to put somebody in your path this week that you need to interject Jesus into the conversation. And you say, well, I wouldn't know how to do it. Well, then you need to be trained. There's a training, and we need to help you with that. I keep these little tracts for me a lot in my bag, just becoming a child of God. Dr. Stephen Olford wrote this little pamphlet, and I keep that and just sometimes hand that out. It's amazing. Just leave a piece of literature with people that you encounter. If you're traveling, wherever you are, just make sure you got that in your pocket. You got your phone with you, always make sure you got a track with you. Got your toothbrush with you, always make sure you got a track with you. Just make sure you've got those to give after your conversation to leave a piece of information, for you never know when they may call you back and want more info. Share the gospel. What is our target? Our target is men. What's our tackle? The tackle or the bait and tackle is the gospel. That's all we've got to share is the gospel. We need to be telling the gospel. And number three, we need to be training. We need to be training, telling people how they can share the gospel. Now, I want to ask you some questions tonight, this small group on this first Sunday night of summer. So I want you to tell me some things, how you've been trained. Don't you tell me trained. How many people in here have been trained in what's called evangelism explosion, EE? How many EE trained people we got in here? Any EE trained people? I'm one. Any EE trained people? Anybody? Where? I haven't seen them yet. Oh, John. Hey, John. Here, give me this. All right, good. Anybody EE? Got an EE folks back here? All right, CWT folks. How many CWT people got trained? All right, we got CWT tree people trained in here. Continuous witness training. Okay, that's good. How many have been trained in a Roman road to share the Roman road? Got Roman road trainers in here? Okay, that's just solid, just what we use. All right, Roman road. Any other way you've been trained? The net, yeah, net from SBC, the net training, all right. Faith training, all right. We use faith here for 2 years in our church. It's faith training. How many of you would say tonight, Pastor, I have never been trained to share the gospel? Okay. All right, that's honest. That's good. That's our fault. We need to give more training here than we've been giving, so that you can share the gospel. If we're going to make you fishers of men, then we've got to train you how to do that. Now listen, if you're saved, you can tell your story. It's pretty easy. Now, the hardest part of sharing the gospel is getting started. You know, I meet Zach and we're talking, and you know, somewhere I got to turn this conversation to the gospel. How do we do that? Well, I do it with F-I-R-E, fire. I begin to talk to Zach and get to know him. I start with F. I begin with family. Tell me about your family. You have a sister? Yeah, you got a sister. Is she mean? Yeah. And then he begins to tell me about it. How about your mom and daddy? And what do you do? So family, all right? Family. Then I go to I. I is interest. Interest. Well, tell me what you're interested in. What do? You play ball or you know, what do you, you know, you love science or whatnot. F-I-R. R. R is for religion. You ever go to church? That's cracking the door. We're not trying to get him to church, but we're trying to find out. And so we began to find out a little bit about church. And then E are the exploratory questions. This is the hard part. Somewhere along the line, you've got to open the door to the eternity side. You got to open it with the exploratory question about have you become a faith follower? If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Whatever those questions. But you've got to ask that probing question of someone's life so that they begin to open up about that. But you don't just run up to them and say, hey, Zach, are you going to hell or heaven? I mean, you know, it's not really the best way to start. You got to work that relationship a little bit. F-I-R-E is one way I find of helping us be a part of doing that. And we just begin to talk about family and interest, crack the door with religion, and get into some exploratory question just to help us in that regard. We need to train you. Then you say, well, I wouldn't know how to do it. Well, you just take Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, and Romans 10, 9, and 10. You can take those three verses, mark them in your Bible, and you can walk right down through what we call the Roman road and helping people see they're lost, that God loves them, that they can decide tonight to follow Christ. You already know more than that lost person knows. Get you a tract, memorize it, have it in your pocket, give it to somebody. I will never forget the first time I ever shared the gospel. I've shared this with you before. It's the worst gospel presentation. You can look it up online if you want to see it. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the worst gospel presentation ever made. And I was the one that did it. I was 17 years old. They trained us how to share the gospel. I went out, shared it, just read a tract to this lady, and she got saved that night. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in my life. I thought, man, this is good. I must be really good at this. No, I wasn't good at it. I was pitiful. I was off, but the Spirit of God got on that and began to share the gospel, and it shows the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's not us. It's not us. And so we see that there's a training that's needed, there's tackle that's given, and there's a target, and that target are the people that you come in contact with. Now, in just a minute, we're going to leave here. We're all going to leave. Now, how many of you are going somewhere to eat tonight after church, not at home? How many of you are going somewhere to eat tonight? Okay, a lot of people going out to eat. How many of you going to work tomorrow? Anybody got a job? All right, going to work. Good, good. How many of you going to drive so fast you meet a police officer tonight on the way home? I'm just telling you, you're going to meet people. You're going to meet people. And you're going to either meet them at work, you're going to meet them at school, you're going to meet them in a restaurant somewhere. God puts those people in your life, and your assignment is you're to share the gospel. You're supposed to let Jesus come into the conversation. Jesus said, follow me, and I will. Now, here's the whole key to this deal, and we're done. I will make you. You do not do this on your own. He's the power source. He's the one that gives us the capability to share the gospel. He makes you a fisher of men. You remember the first time you ever went fishing? You weren't very good at it? You know those open face reels? It's got a little deal. It flops down, you know? I hate those things. They're upside down, and you have to learn to throw that, and it backlashes on me, and gets all, you know, you got that bird nest in there. That thing's hard for me to learn to do. I couldn't do that the first few times. But then I learned because I was trained to do that. My dad showed me how to be a part of that. So you're going to blow it the first few times. God may give you fruit in spite of yourself, but it won't come natural. But after a while, it'll become natural to you as you follow Christ and share with others. Now, not only be people you come in contact with, you ought to keep a hit list. How many of you in here are in sales? Crawford's in sales. Anybody else in here? Who's in sales in here? Anybody in sales? All right, a few people in here. Let me tell you, if you're in sales, you've got a client list. You've got somebody you're keeping up with. And you're looking out after these folks. If you're not, you're not going to sell much if you don't know who your targets are. So you ought to keep a list in your Bible. You ought to keep a list of those lost people you're praying for in your Bible. And you ought to pray that God would open their heart, make their heart pliable unto the gospel. We don't do enough training and calling our people to accountability with evangelism. God forgive us and help us to be better soul winners. Now, let's conclude like this. We started with fishing lies, or close to it. A bass hanging on to a brim. I never heard of that. Now, you were going to share with us about a story. Yes, sir. So stand up here and tell me that story. They'll catch it on this microphone. It's on me.
I was probably 45, 50 years old, and I'd been raised in church, and I'd been going out on visitation. And the church that I was attending at the time was doing the faith that you've heard mentioned earlier tonight. And I had a terrible headache, and I was convinced that the first person I would lead to Christ would be a man. And so I went out on visitation and took a couple people with me. Anyways, it was this lady, and I presented faith, and she ended up accepting Jesus Christ as her Savior. And that God just showed me that I had all these preconceived ideas, that I could only relate to men, and I was feeling terrible, but that had nothing to do with anything, because God worked through me, and that's how I led my first person to Christ.
Amen, Jonathan. Good word. Yeah. It works, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
But you got to step out on the thin ice sometimes.
Yes, sir.
It scares me to death. I'm not 60 years old. I still get nervous every time I begin to talk with somebody about that. I want them to like me.
Amen.
But it's not about them liking me. It's about them knowing my Lord. And when they know my Lord, then they really love me. Okay? Somebody else, when's the last time you shared the gospel and had success? That's what I want to hear just before we quit. Anybody else? Anybody?
We was on a mission trip back in October, and we was door knocking over in Lake City, and a 71-year-old lady came to the door, and the wife and I was able to share the gospel with her, and she accepted the Lord that day after sharing the gospel with her.
Amen.
And the Lord
71.
Said, 71.
Praise the Lord. Somebody else, right quick? Last time you shared, somebody came to know the Lord? Some guy in an Auburn shirt's going to give a testimony right here.
I'm with Waterfront Mission.
Yes, sir.
And I was working at the Pensacola Mission Bargain Center.
Yeah, at the Bargain Center.
So this young man comes in, he's 22 years old, he's doing community service. So he was out in the break area. I took a break with him, talked with him, started out like you were talking about going to church, and he accepted Christ right there on the spot.
Amen. That's the way you do it. You encounter these folks, and so that's fishing. That's good. Somebody else? Amen. Yes, sir. Just jump up there and holler at me. You're all right. I can hear you. Go ahead.
Real brief, my testimony is that it was a couple that witnessed to me. came to the Lord in August 1990. And then this couple, they stayed in the first 24 hours when I was first saved.
Amen.
So that's how it
is. Praise the Lord. What a good word. Somebody else started to say it? Yeah. Don't let him have it, Leo. This microphone went down here, Alan.
I was interning at a juvenile prison my final term at UWF, and I was able to share the gospel with one juvenile there, gave a full presentation, and an evangelist came in the next day and drew the net, and he got saved.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. Great word. Somebody else? Who you got back there, Stan? Who you got, Crawford?
Hey, Pastor, we twice a year in the Bass Club, we give out Bibles that are youth, actually youth Bibles designed to share your faith, and you mark the page number to go to. It's,
right.
It's easy to do, and we train that twice a year, so I keep one of those in my pickup. And, of course, before you got a grandchild, I had a visiting partner, and he liked to go out on evangelism witnessing, so he and I would go, and we had a guy one night, and I decided, well, tonight I'm going to use that. And it was, you know, just walk through it. He read the scripture. He saved, you know, he met the Lord reading the scripture. So it was a neat night.
Amen. Amen. You're talking about my son-in-law. You know, most of you say, well, I'm, you know, I'm shy. Hey, you know, meet me people more shy than Brad. But he's bold when it comes to the gospel and does that.
Yes, sir.
Good, good. Well, why don't we just have a gospel invitation right now and see if anybody needs to get saved, join this church, get right with God tonight, all right? And then when you get ready to leave, I want you to go be fishing, 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 somewhere tonight, somewhere tomorrow, and asking God to give the harvest in your life. Hey, maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and God's moving in your heart. You may be here and there's somebody lost you know you're supposed to be sharing with. You're scared to death to be about that. You may just need to come lay that at the altar and say, Lord, give me grace. Give me power. Give me strength and courage to be about that witness this very night. I'm going to pray for us and we're going to stand. And when we stand, we'll sing. God's call in your heart. You step out and you come tonight. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for that little verse out of Mark that charges us to follow you and fish. Forgive us when we stay here at the fish camp and don't fish. Forgive us, Lord, when we read all about it but don't fish. Lord, forgive us when we walk by people and don't have a burden and don't fish. Make us to be fishers of men. In Jesus' name, amen.